You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 16th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now. On the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, that'll take you to our page. You'll see previous postings, and you can push the one for live, and you join us in studio. Welcome. Well, we're not anxiously awaiting President Biden to sign the Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, but we're still waiting. He hasn't done it yet. Democrats continue to insist with the midterms coming up, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to really reduce inflation, but not being very specific about how. And in fact, Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, said as soon as the act goes into effect, I hope all the provisions will begin to work. I know those who have been blaming President Biden for inflation going up will now give President Biden all the credit for inflation going down. A reporter asked, which parts of the bill are going to work quickly to reduce inflation? Congressman Raskin's response, next question. It's not really a deflation reduction, more than a green pie in the sky deal they've shoved down your throat and going to be enforced and collected by 87,000 new IRS agents if they can find them. So we're still waiting to see if we're going to actually have access to the affidavit backing up the search warrant for Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Attorney General Merrick Garland said the other day, we're going to be fully open. We're going to let everything out. But his own Department of Justice, which he oversees, is now fighting to keep the document, the affidavit, sealed. I told you the other day when this first broke, you want to see the affidavit. You want to see who said what and why did they have reason to go in and exactly what was the intent. We know FBI agents relied upon a faulty and absolutely false and bought for steel dossier, and they use that as evidence to get a FISA warrant to wiretap members of Trump's staff. So I really want to see this affidavit. Well, a judge is apparently going to hold a hearing Thursday and make a ruling on it. Oh, I should tell you, it's going to be the same judge that signed the original search warrant. So don't hold your breath on what's going to happen. Which other things that are coming up, another Attorney General Merrick Garland apparently also waited weeks to approve that search warrant. Now, when you had the state-controlled media running around saying, you know, these documents might pertain to nuclear weapons, well, then why were you waiting weeks if you thought it was that vital? Why did you wait until Congress is out of session, Biden's on vacation, and Christopher Wray was headed off on vacation? Joe Biden is setting a new record, another 199,976 illegals arrived at our southern border in July. That exceeds the total 2021 numbers, although we still don't have August and September numbers added in. We're already ahead of where we were. Wyoming voters are going to polls, and of course, they're voting in the state's primary elections. Republican Liz Cheney more than likely going to go down to defeat in the primary. Trump has endorsed her opponent. And in fact, Cheney is asking Democrats, vote for me, switch parties just for this, and vote for me, will you please? She served the House since 2017, but of course upset a lot of fellow Republicans and Trump because of her role on the House January 6th committee. Professional basketball player Enes Kanter Freedom accusing the NBA of hypocrisy. Why? The NBA apparently is not going to hold any games on Election Day. They're going to hold a civic engagement night the Monday before the elections to encourage fans and staff to get out and vote. And Freedom says the NBA's biggest backer is China, and now the NBA won't acknowledge that, and they're trying to get you to go out and vote for Democrats. First Lady Jill Biden testing positive for coronavirus. Apparently going to be okay, but she's had both vaccines and boosters, still got it. And then there's an allegation, strictly an allegation, that the Catholic Rosary could be a symbol of religious radicalism. You heard me right. I'll give you more details of that coming up in this next hour. We've got a lot to cover. Make sure you and your family and friends are listening. Stand by for the rest of hour number two, Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Obviously, Merrick Garland took weeks to decide to execute this search warrant. And I think, you know, one of his considerations had to have been how it was going to play in, you know, with the American people. And in this case, this affidavit needs to be released. I mean, this investigation obviously has run its course. They've obtained the documents. There are no further steps that I can imagine they're going to take based on the crimes that they allege to be investigating. So based on everything I know about this case, it is time to release this affidavit in an abundance of a desire for transparency and making sure that the American people understand what the government is doing in their name.
That's Matt Whitaker, former acting attorney general under Trump for a period of time. And he said something very interesting in the midst of that, which I know you agree with much of what he said, if not all of it. But that Merrick Garland sat on this concerned in ways about what the public reaction would be. If it's a crime, the public reaction would be, damn, go ahead and carry it out. I'd say that immediately. But if you're using this as a ploy or a tactic and are going to put it a little closer to the November election and timing it for the time that when Biden would be on vacation so he wouldn't be in the White House to answer questions directly about it, and Christopher Wray was headed off on vacation, the FBI director. But if it were so important, why wait weeks, especially when some of the so-called, as I call them, state-controlled media were suggesting some classified documents pertaining to nuclear weapons might have been among the items the FBI collected. We don't know that for a fact. That's just an allegation. But if they really believe that, why wait for weeks other than for political points or to avoid losing political points? And remember the other day, Merrick Garland said, we're going to be fully transparent. We're going to let everything out. We're going to make everything public. But now his Department of Justice, yes, his Department of Justice, the DOJ operates under the Attorney General. While the Attorney General said this is what we will do, we'll be transparent, he has now also ordered Department of Justice attorneys under him to fight to keep it sealed, to seal up the affidavit. The affidavit is everything. It tells you who was the source, if it's verifiable or not. What were they actually looking to find? Or as Molly Hemingway pointed out in the Federalist the other day, the raid was not to get anything from Trump, but to destroy Trump. That was the sole purpose. You agree? They did come out with various boxes. Trump said some of those contain confidential privileged client information between me and some of my attorneys. And his staff asked Merrick Garland's staff, can we have a third party review and see which ones might be client privilege protected? No. Really? You won't even allow that? And when it comes to learning more about the warrant, when you said you'd be transparent? Nope. Going to have to go through a judge. And the judge? Well, it's going to be the same one that signed the search warrant in the beginning. Yeah, the same judge as represented Jeffrey Epstein's employees from time to time. The same judge that has given a lot of money to Democrats. The same judge that has made despairing remarks about Trump. And the same judge that signed the search warrant the other day, based on what the FBI agents and others were telling him. We know how that has played out. That's been made public already by the Christopher Steele dossier, bought for and paid for by the Democrat National Committee in part and the Hillary Clinton campaign in part. It was all falsified. The main source of the Steele dossier later saying, hey, it was just bar talk. I never meant it to be anything like that big. But they were using what they knew to be false information to get FISA warrants to carry out wiretaps. So it would not surprise me that some agents might indeed use false information to get a judge, even if he might have been compliant anyway, to sign off on a raid of the Trump estate. The reaction has been swift across the nation, widespread anger and angst among Americans, and not just Republicans. Democrats who are smart realize this is not good. If this kind of thing can be carried out against Trump, it can be carried out by the next administration against anyone that maybe I like or don't like. Trump himself the other day said, look, I think we need to cool things down a little bit, and I'm willing to help. His son Eric Trump was on Sean Hannity last night and said, the anger that exists is real and at a higher level than I've ever seen.
I've been through all of these firestorms over the year. I've never seen America more mad than it is right now. There's only so many times you can cry wolf. People are not buying the sham in the country. They see the weaponization of the FBI. They're calling it the police state in this country. People get this for what it is, Sean. They've removed the wool from people's eyes, and people know exactly what's going on. They're targeting Donald Trump. They're targeting his family. They're targeting everybody around him. They're targeting his lawyers. Anybody that's close to Donald Trump, anybody who's effective, they're targeting right now, and people understand this for exactly what it's worth.
Exactly. And here's the other point. That does not give you justification to make a threat against a federal agent. And an actual, not a threat, but an invasion was carried out in Ohio the other day, trying to breach an outer office of a IRS headquarters or FBI headquarters, and Then the subject was chased down after a 60-mile chase and shot to death when he apparently aimed to shoot one of the troopers. That kind of stuff lead to the left, the liberals, the Antifas, the Black Lives Matter, burning, torching, threatening, and, of course, illegally protesting in front of federal judges' homes, such as Supreme Court justices, and are also planning to kill a Supreme Court justice. Leave that to the other side. But I am looking at a piece that appeared in the Federalist titled, Fed's Tyranny Suggests They Aren't As Afraid of the American People as They Should Be. Before I get into that, let's again try to find a way to get things a little calmer. Let's go again to Matt Whitaker, who served as an attorney general for a period of time under Trump and said, you've got to keep things in perspective, and we do need to cool down.
The temperature needs to be lowered. Obviously, threats against law enforcement of any kind are not acceptable. Political violence is never acceptable. And so saying that, you know, we need a country where the rule of law is applied evenly and consistently to everyone, no matter whether you're an ordinary citizen or whether you're Donald J. Trump, the former president of the United States. And so in this particular case, obviously, the Department of Justice and the FBI needs to take steps themselves to lower the temperature. And that, a lot of that is transparency, answering these questions, talking about investigations like this, why, for the first time in our America's history, a search warrant was executed on a former president of the United States. And once I think that happens, then I think we will have the temperature lowered. But until then, you know, the ball's really in DOJ's court.
Again, those are the words of Matt Whitaker, former attorney general under Trump. Well, Congressman James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, agrees with him.
The temperature is too high in America. We are concerned about that. You know, Congress, Pelosi's got this January 6th committee stuff going on because the temperature is too high in America. Well, this only adds fuel to the fire. If there's a reasonable explanation, at least brief conservative members of Congress, at least brief those of us in who are ranking members of committee. And then we can put out the fire. We can help put out the fire. But so far, they're not saying anything. And remember, this is on top of many, many instances of the FBI and our intelligence community giving us information that's wrong, not responding to our requests for information, especially appropriations requests. And, you know, this just keeps getting worse. So the deep state is real. This is something that Republicans, if we get in the majority next year, we are going to have to get under control.
That is Congressman James Comer, Republican, Kentucky, and he's exactly right. We've got to get it under control. We've got to get control of Congress, and we've got to start fully investigating. And he mentioned the FBI and how we're supposed to trust them and what we're told anymore.
We want transparency. They've been in my crosshairs for a long time. Right now in the minority, we're requesting information on their appropriations because we believe that the agency has become political. We believe the agency has become arrogant. They give us information that is incorrect all the time, and they're a big burden on the taxpayer. So we have a lot of problems with the FBI. We're going to start asking a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. And, of course, when he talks about not only their credibility but their arrogance, it's truly replicated and exemplified by remarks of Peter Smurf Stroke, former FBI agent, as he appeared on MSNBC.
Absolutely, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. It's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other. What you see is the FBI going out on a day-in, day-out basis, objectively investigating allegations of law.
Now, let's stop it right there. It's not that the FBI is targeting one side or the other. This is the same Smurf Stroke and writing text to his lover, Lisa Page, that we have an insurance policy to make sure Trump does not get in the White House. You don't think that bias filters into his decisions? So let's go ahead and pick up his response, and then I want to hear from former Attorney General Matt Whitaker.
Absolutely, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing. It's not that the FBI is targeting any one side or the other. What you see is the FBI going out on a day-in, day-out basis, objectively investigating allegations of law.
Well, I think this is a red herring. I mean, when he pops up and tries to assure us that there's no political influence at the FBI, I think we should be a little worried because, you know, he is the guy that led an investigation into the president of the United States when there was no predication and there was no evidence that Donald Trump and his campaign had any relationship with Russian government.
Again, Matt Whitaker, and he's absolutely correct. There was no evidence. They knew there was no evidence. They knew they were relying upon faulty information, faulty intel, but they did it anyway. And then they swore in front of a federal judge, we believe this to be real, so we need a wiretap against Carter Page and anyone else we want to identify under a FISA warrant. Repeatedly. This is so damning to the agency as a whole. J. Edgar Hoover, in the beginning, had a lot of control that he abused. We all know that. And then gradually we began to see and have more respect for the FBI again. And we still should for the overall agency and its mission. But there's some individual FBI agents I'm not so sure of. Most, I would say, 90%+, and certainly of the ones, hundreds I've known over the years in news, I would vouch for myself. But you won't catch me agreeing with Peter Smurf Stroke that he had no partisan view. I mentioned a moment ago about an article in the Federalist about, is the government, has it reached a point where it's no longer fearful of its citizens? That raises a very interesting question. Should our government be afraid of the citizens? Well, I certainly don't want the citizens afraid of the government. What's the balance line? Well, that's why we have our Constitution and our processes in this nation. But when they're not working, or they're being abused, we do need a reset at that level. I'll get into that, and again, as I want you to hear from Matt Whitaker, former AG, about the credibility of the FBI at this point, it is not good. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There are some at the FBI that believe that Donald Trump is a criminal, and so they're going to pursue this case as much as they possibly can. And that it's that bias and that desire to get Trump no matter what that has really colored, I think, a lot of the last 6 years at the FBI. And until they're willing to do their work above board without any political influence whatsoever, we're going to have troubles like we have right now in this case.
In this case, he's talking about the raid on the Trump quarters in Mar-a-Lago by the FBI. And that is, again, Matt Whitaker, former attorney general under Trump. I mentioned earlier a Federalist article that raises a question of, should the American citizens be afraid of their government? It's written by J.B. Shirk. He's describes himself as a freedom-minded, anti-establishment, sometimes unorthodox, committed generalist, and a proud American from Daniel Boone country, he points out. The article was titled, Fed's Routine Tyranny Suggests They Aren't As Afraid of the American People as They Should Be, and added in the second title, does the federal government still work for Americans, or have citizens become nothing more than subjects expected to obey Washington's bureaucratic regime? As the article begins, and I'm going to read it directly, this again, the words are J.B. Shirk for the Federalist. Alan Moore, author and social critic, asserts in V for Vendetta that, quote, people shouldn't be afraid of their government. Government should be afraid of their people. When a young director in Karachi, Pakistan, adopted Vendetta for a live theatrical performance 10 years ago, he repeated the line during the play's curtain call to raucous applause from the audience. Moore's simple words reflect poignantly the human desire to be free from government tyranny. That's all part of the article as it begins, referring to Alan Moore, referring to V for Vendetta, that people shouldn't be afraid of their government. He went on to say, Shirk is writing, Moore's statement is widely embraced in the U.S., where the people are constitutionally vested with power over government. It is doubtful, however, that today's permanent bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. would concur. He said this philosophical divide between the American people and their government is an important one, I should say. Should the American people be afraid of the U.S. government? Of course not. Yet a new army of IRS agents that will be used to audit middle-class Americans and a partisan DOJ and FBI that routinely ignore leftist violence while throwing the book at MAGA voters strongly suggest otherwise. Does the federal government still work for American citizens, or have American citizens become nothing more than subjects expected to obey Washington's bureaucratic regime? He points out that Christopher Wray the other day, and again, these are the words of Shirk from in his piece in The Federalist, points out that how Christopher Wray was talking about, I'm concerned about threats to law enforcement. Well, Christopher Wray, so am I. I'll add on my own points here, not from the article, but I'm not happy with threats to law enforcement at any level, for any reason, at any time. But Shirk then adds, Ray declared while saying nothing of threats to Americans from federal law enforcement. What is more of a threat to American liberty? Citizens using their constitutionally protected free speech to criticize the FBI, or wayward FBI agents acting under the color of law? So here's where we are with this. You have a First Amendment right of free speech. You can refute and you can say what you want about the FBI or Republicans or Trump. You don't have a right to use violence. As I said repeatedly, when BLM and Antifa were rioting in the streets while the left yawned and said, well, it's not a big deal, they're just exercising their freedom, I said, no, their freedom ends when they break peaceful assembly. And threats to law enforcement fall in that same category. That's not your freedom. Coming up, exactly how will some of these 97,000 new IRS agents be used?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden costs. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide. To the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Last year, the IRS issued a report saying, boy, if we just had $80 billion, we could do so much. We could bring in more than enough money to pay for that and then some. Just give us $80 billion. Well, we're waiting for President Biden to sign the so-called Inflation Reduction Comedy Act, which isn't really going to reduce inflation, but it does provide $80 billion for the IRS and 87,000 new agents. Welcome aboard my guest, Preston Brashears with the Heritage Foundation, their senior tax policy advisor. Preston, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Larry.
So let's begin with this article, and I was reading part of your statement there as to what was happening in 2021. They were already making a case for, if you give us some money, we will go out and collect that and then some. To me, that says,
yeah,
that, give me a right to go rob.
Yeah, so that's what the report was doing as of a year ago, back when we were talking about, it was called the American Family Plan at the time. So these names obviously change and evolve over time and usually have nothing to do with what they're actually doing. But you're right. They were trying to make the case that they could go out. If you give us $80 billion, then we're going to go out and we're going to collect a whole lot more. And we'll, of course, now they're painting this as just they're going to essentially get all of this additional revenue only from the very rich, but that's simply just impossible, essentially, based off of the numbers that they're stating. And so obviously there's been a lot of outcry about the idea of 87,000 IRS agents, which is based off of their own estimates. And so now they're kind of trying to backtrack. Well, it's not really going to be the 87,000 on net, but, you know, their numbers don't lie. Those were the numbers that they said as of a year ago. But now that the political calculus changed.
Oh, I see. I see. So once you pin them down on the numbers, did a comma get misplaced? Or it was just not going to ever reach that number or what?
Well, that's what they're saying. But it, if you just look at their report, the numbers are solid. They're rock solid. If you look at the costs, if you look at everything that they're doing, it all checks out. If you look at their current costs per IRS employee and what they're projecting, if you give them another $80 billion, essentially almost doubling their budget, what's that going to mean? Is they're going to be able to essentially almost double the size of their forces, which is currently a little bit over 80,000. So 87,000 is not a reach by any stretch of the imagination.
Now, on one hand, I mean, this makes good business sense. Any business that's told, look, if you buy this machine, I know it's worth a lot, but you'll reap back the benefits within 3 years or less, and you'll make even more money. So on one hand, it sounds like good business sense, but the problem here is who's going to be paying the $80 billion?
Yeah, that's right. So in the table where they're talking about the new agents, it's referred to as return on investment. And
yeah,
I find that a little bit, I find that a little bit, questionable as someone that would be paying that return on the investment potentially. Oh, well, hopefully I'm not audited myself, but the
no,
point
I think you just opened the door. Let me repeat again for IRS agents. This is Preston Brashers from the Heritage Foundation. Go ahead, Preston.
I've put my target on my back many times before with the IRS, so it wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
But the point is, I mean, everyone is going to be potentially subject to these audits. And even if you have, you know, dotted every I and crossed every T, but you still get picked up for an audit, that doesn't mean you're not paying anything. You're still going to be paying a lot of your time, your money to accountants to help you through the process of an audit, because we all know that audits are not a painless process. There's a lot of cost involved in that. So the return on investment they're talking about just completely sweeps all that under the rug, and all the burden that imposes on everyday taxpayers, individuals, small businesses, you name it.
Yeah, I mean, how many have a retainer, tax attorneys on retainer for such a thing? And if it's going to be, you know, it's going to be another $2,000, $3,000, maybe $6,000, do I want to spend more to fight it, or do I just kind of roll over? And odds are many are going to say, I guess I just have to roll over and sign an agreement to pay it out in installments or do something.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I've talked to people that's basically the experience that they've had, where it's essentially they hear a certain number. You know, the IRS will say, you owe us this much. They don't think they do, but they know it's going to cost them more to fight it than to go through the legal trouble and everything else to try to get it thrown out or to get it the number corrected. So they just simply, you know, if you're a roofer and you don't have the money for a lawyer on retainer, you're right. It's easier just to simply pay the money that you don't think you actually owe, but it's just not worth the trouble to fight it.
And we're talking about again as to who's going to be seeing the increase. The Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation, on its own report, said that out of these billions that are going to be collected, $17 billion will come from those making $200,000 or less, $14 billion from those from $200,000 to $500,000. That's a lot of that's middle America and much lower. And audit numbers apparently for those under making $25,000 or less are going to jump five or six times as much audit. That seems really onerous.
Yeah, so, I mean, audit rates are going to go up across the board. They want to make this out that it's going to be only on the very rich and the large corporations. But they're giving them so many auditors, there's just simply no way. I mean, they're not going to have enough to do if you're just focusing them on the top 2% of taxpayers. You could have 100% audit rates on millionaires. It doesn't matter. There's still going to be resources left over. So if you think that there's going to be 100% audit rates on millionaires, you know, I got a bridge to sell you somewhere.
Yeah. Well, now, they also try to describe it in saying, and you quote them in here, because of the expansion, the IRS budget is phased in over a 10-year horizon. Each year, the IRS workforce would grow by no more than a manageable 15%. So 87,000 agents immediately or over 10 years, and then where does attrition come in? Is that taken into account? How big is this agency going to get?
Yeah, so we're looking at I think if you go off their numbers, I think 87,000 is honestly relatively conservative at the 10-year mark, and that's 87,000 on top of the already scheduled amount that you'd expect there'd be some growth over time as appropriations. You know, we just had the IRS just got an increase in their appropriations last year, so this is not like something that we're adding $87,000 to nothing. We're adding 87,000 agents to nothing. We expect that there would be growth over time. So this agency will get very big.
But you're going to hear from and you point that out in your article. Again, you're listening to Preston Brashears, Senior Policy and Tax Advisor with Heritage Foundation, that we are being sold the story. Well, you know, they're only going to go after the rich, and they're really going to be there to help you. You'll be able to get somebody to actually answer the phone instead of press 1, press 2, press whatever. But you point out here that only $3.2 billion of the $80 billion, only $3.2 goes to taxpayer services, while $45 billion goes to enforcement like new audits, litigation, asset monitoring, and collections.
Yep. That's right. So just off those numbers, I guess they put 14 times higher priority on auditing you and shaking you down and getting more money out of taxpayers than they do on being able to provide the services and education and answer phone calls and the things that, you know, going back to the fundamentals of just, you know, I think ultimately, you know, everyone should pay their taxes. Everyone should, you know,
sure.
If you owe taxes, I don't want anyone to be a tax cheat. But I also don't think that fundamentally most Americans are. I think people are doing their best to try to pay their taxes, but you got an incredibly complicated tax code out, and it's very difficult, especially if you're a small business out there, to try to do this. You're running the books on your own to try to comply with this incredibly convoluted tax code, as they're even making it more convoluted with this bill. You know, I think we're just doing this exactly the wrong way.
I want to get into that, but it's legal for tax avoidance, to avoid taxes if you don't have to pay them. The evasion becomes the illegal part. But then, as complex as the tax code is, the question was raised earlier today by a market strategist asking, where are they going to find 87,000 to even fog a mirror, much less 87,000 who are competent to read and carry out a tax code as it's written in volumes?
Yeah, I think that's a great point because, you know, when they're talking about this, why they need these additional resources, they talk about, you know, some of these complicated audits that they have, and you need to have very specialized people to do this. But again, if you're just expanding this labor force for the IRS and getting more and more people, I don't think each marginal person that you're bringing in is probably going to be very experienced. I think those are probably going to be, you know, workers that you probably have to, you know, devote a lot more education to and things like that. So,
and they're going to be handling the lower income earners too, because they won't face a battle of lawyers.
That seems likely.
Preston, again, I thank you very much. And again, for the IRS, it's Preston Brashears, Senior Tax Policy with Heritage. Thanks very much, Preston. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Larry.
And at this end, it is Larry Connors for the rest of you listening. Coming up, did you ever think you would hear that the Catholic Rosary might be identified with radicalism? Well, it has been. I'll explain when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Pope Francis was giving an interview with a Spanish language outlet, Univision, and the pontiff said in the interview, a month after conception, the DNA of the fetus is already there, the organs are aligned, there is human life. Well, the interviewer asked, what do you say then about President Biden, a self-professed devout Catholic? He could have raised the same question also about Nancy Pelosi, but who had been banned from communion in her own archdiocese by her archbishop, but then got it at the Vatican when she traveled to Rome. But the question to Biden was, what about Biden, who's a self-professed devout Catholic, who supports blanket legislation of abortion on the federal level? The Pope's response in the interview was, again, a month after conception, the DNA of the fetus is already there, the organs are aligned, there is human life. Is the abortion just to eliminate a human life? He added that Biden should question his own conscience and consult with his bishop. In fact, I'll read the exact quote. I leave it to President Biden's conscience, and that he speaks to his bishop, his pastor, his parish priest about that incoherence. Polite way of saying, you're wrong. Biden's views on abortion, especially as being an acclaimed devout Catholic, are incoherent. I'm surprised I get that response out of the Pope, because he's been very hesitant to meddle in any politics, trying to keep the Holy See from being involved in secular world issues, but some of his archbishops in the U.S. and elsewhere around the world are taking on that position that he just stated. Others are not. It's not to question your religion, it's to question, in this case, the Pope saying, a month after conception, the DNA of the fetus is already there. Life has begun. Now, that's going to get into deeper issues than even the heartbeat law they got passed in some states prior to the Roe v. Wade law of the land being struck down. Point of conception, that's been the general attitude. That is when life begins, at the moment of conception. But now he's saying here that a month after, everything's aligned and set in motion. So I guess that would give some grounds, and you would need some, I think, that had to be considered, much as grace we need from our Lord anyway, not justice. I cannot stand his justice. I wouldn't be able to hold up. I need grace and mercy. But for those, say, if a woman is raped, and she doesn't want to carry through the crime again in her mind and everything else, and that's a tough decision for anyone other than her to make. I will agree with that. If she does carry the child and she doesn't want it, well, then we need to provide services to help her and help the child. But if they can do something within the first few hours of the rape, then maybe it will certainly not go the month long that the Pope just described. Now, when we're talking about Catholicism, I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not trying to knock it. I'm just trying to share some of these things with you. I have many friends who are. I have many friends who are Jewish. I have many of various religions. There's a contributor to The Atlantic, Daniel Panatin, that declared the Catholic rosary a symbol of religious radicalism. He wrote in a piece called How the Rosary Became an Extremist Symbol. He said, on this extremist fringe, the rosary beads that have been woven into a conspiratorial politics and abolitionist gun culture, these armed radical traditionalists have taken up a spiritual notion that the rosary can be a weapon in the fight against evil and turned it into something dangerously literal. He slammed Christian warriors, both historic and modern, showing pictures of rosaries draped over their firearms, warriors in prayer. He said rosary beads provide an aid for a sequence of devotional prayers and add to the church militant. Swiss Guard protecting the Vatican in their 16th century armor and uniforms you often have seen. He said that's, again, accepting the rosary as a powerful weapon along with the Vatican. And it's all becoming radicalized. You know, if you look deep enough and read long enough, you're going to find all kinds of views and opinions out there. You don't have to agree with them, but I do believe in sharing them and that you're aware of them. As always, I appreciate you listening and sharing with others this program. Either share the podcast or tell them to listen directly. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.